Jackson to the end zone. Touchdown, Texas Tech.
Ezukama for the touchdown.
Hand off to Marcus Fields. Down the sideline. Touchdown, Red Raiders.
Welcome one, welcome all to the Air Raid Podcast. Presented by the Matadors. You are on again with your boy, I'll be sure. And as always, I got my right-hand man, Dylan Smythe, with me. What's up, Dill?
Oh, you know, just getting ready to talk more Texas Tech football. We're like, what, a week? A little bit more than a week out?
We almost there. I didn't think it was going to come, but we almost there. And I also got Jeremy Gillen with us. Jeremy, did you think we'd get here?
Yeah, it baffles me that football is a week and a day away. Did not think it was going to happen. Sorry to our Big Ten friends, but I'm excited.
I'm still a little worried, to be honest. But
that's true. That's true.
With the way cases are going at Texas Tech.
Yeah, cases ain't it ain't looking too gravy, but they're going to push on.
Too many parties.
They're going to push on. And, you know, but the problem is that, you know, you got a lot of people that if they're not playing football, they're going to be all out of shape. They're going to be fat, just rolling around. Kind of like our D linemen. Did y'all like how I did that?
Oh, God.
You like how I did that? This is the D lineman preview. As we've been previewing all the positions leading up to the football season, the 2020 football season, D linemen, we still have yet to get to. So we're going to talk about them today. So, Dylan, give me a guy from the D line that gets you really excited.
Well, if we look at last season, I think the best returning defensive lineman is easily Eli Howard. Losing Broderick Washington is going to hurt this team a lot, but Eli Howard had 5 sacks. That's pretty good. I still don't think that meets expectations for him, but if he takes another step, I think Eli Howard could have a really good year and maybe put himself in a position to play at the next level.
What about you, Jeremy? Are you big on the Eli Howard train as well?
I am big on Eli Howard, but I am equally as big on Jalen Hutchings, sophomore, 6 feet, 300 pounds, just a big boy, really helping us against that run game, which we're going to desperately need this year.
That is actually the right answer, Jeremy. Good job. 2 points for you. Dylan, Eli Howard was not the best player returning from our D-line. It was Jalen Hutchings. Jalen Hutchins led all defensive linemen in tackles last year. Eli Howard had, 5 sacks. But at the same time, Hutchins plays at a more disadvantaged position to get sacks and still had 3, one too far off. Eli Howard, to me, was a big disappointment. We'll get to the disappointments, but I'll be real. He was a big disappointment. And one guy that I am excited to see this year, what about Tony Bradford? We're going to just go down the line. I really do like Tony Bradford. I think there's a good chance. He had a really good season last year. I think both him and Hutchins really switched on and off last year, and I think they're going to continue to do the same at DT this year. So I already started on the disappointment. So with Eli Howard, what do you think, Jeremy? Is Eli Howard your disappointment, or you got somebody else in mind?
No, I don't think Eli Howard will be a disappointment. He's proven to be progressively better each season, and he is, like you said.
All right, time out. Progressive, was he? Do you think his sophomore year was worse than his junior year?
I don't know. Oh, was it worse or was it better?
I'm saying his.
It's about the same.
I think he took a big step back last year.
Do you think so?
I do, because the thing
he had 6 less tackles and a half a sack more. It's virtually the same season.
He was last year. He wasn't preseason all Big 12. He was definitely viewed as being that guy. And we barely talked about him all last year. He was a big reason why the D-line struggled outside of Broderick Washington, in my opinion. And he would just get killed on run defense. I just did not like him last year whatsoever.
Wow. I guess it is the hype of him this year had just overshadowed my preconceived notions of him last year, which we can expect a lot of fans to do this year. So I'm glad that you said that.
Yeah.
What was your question leading into it?
Disappointments. I had to go more into my disappointment as to why I think Eli Howard is a disappointment.
Yeah. Because
to me,
I
think Eli Howard is just going to continue. Again, I'm big on what have you done for me lately. Lately, he wasn't very good to me. And so I think that's just going to continue. But
that makes sense. Well, Eli Howard is the only person that we can really expect disappointment from, right? I mean, Jalen Hutchings, like, besides he was at the disadvantaged position of being a tackle, so he doesn't have a lot of time to shine or get the sacks or make the big play, but he is making a difference on the line. But I don't think you can be disappointed unless all of a sudden he's just like letting people blow him up. But, you know, standing at the weight he is and the height he is, like, I don't think that's going to happen. So Eli Howard has everything to lose this season. Like, that's the only person on this defensive line that has everything to lose.
All right, well, Dylan, who else do you have? Disappointment, big disappointment. I know it ain't going to be Eli Howard.
Well, no, I don't think you can really, like Jeremy said, I don't think you can really pick anybody because all these guys are pretty much unproven. So I don't know if you could be a disappointment if you're already unproven. I think you bring up good points with Eli Howard. I just think his sack production is something we desperately need. I remember I was looking into our sack numbers last year. I think we were tied for like 74th, which is pretty middle of the pack, 24 sacks in total. We need a better pass rush, and I think part of the reason why our secondary was so bad is because we almost never had a pass rush. So if Eli Howard doesn't rush the passer any better than he did last year, then yeah, I would say it would be a disappointment.
Yeah, that's a very good point. As far as much as we crapped on the secondary, I mean, linebackers played decently last year, right? So if it's you can't have the third worst passing defense and it really only be one position, right? Like that's not really how that works. And the fact that the quarterbacks last year had all day to sit back and pick us apart with a lot because of how poorly this D-line played. So with that, I mean, for us to have a good D-line and the way that Coach Patterson plays this defense, we're going to need a lot of depth. So give me an unsung hero that you think is really going to provide depth for this team, Dylan.
Well, you actually already mentioned him as your breakout player, but I don't think people know the name Tony Bradford Jr. You know, he played in a handful of games, but he's going to get the opportunity to start this year. And listening to Paul Randolph talk about him, the dude could not take that smile off his face talking about Tony Bradford, just about how much he's grown. I think he put on like 40 pounds, according to 24/7 Sports, from the time he committed to now. That's monstrous. And Paul Randolph said he's going to rotate on the inside, but he might get an opportunity to chase the passer on the outside too.
And that's what I'm hoping for. That's one of the reasons why I had him as my breakout, because I do think that he should get a lot of time on the outside wing. But you know what's funny is that the other guy that I really wanted to say as my breakout this year, I didn't, because I'm pretty sure Jeremy's about to bring him up. Who's your break? Who's your unsung hero?
I saved him for both you guys, yeah. Or one of you guys.
Okay. The dinosaur of the defense, Nelson Benasor from Pflugerville, Texas.
I feel like I should have been the one to bring him in because he's African, and like me being the resident African, should have been my responsibility. That's how nice I am.
Correct. You are just full of grace, and I'm thankful for that. Yeah, I mean, Nelson Benasor has just been, he was stout on the defense last year when we saw good playing time from him. He's had a lot of progression through the offseason. We heard from Randolph himself that, like, this is a guy who's just surprised them with the just progressiveness that he's had with his ability to just get stronger, bigger, more aware of his keys and all of that. Like, this is somebody who now I'm expecting to step into his junior season with a lot more oomph. You know, he's going to be, in my hope is for him to be the Broderick Washington this year.
So I will say one guy we didn't talk about, and he was another guy that I actually expected to be mentioned was Nick McCann. So Nick McCann, I think, is going to actually be the main guy I expect to fill Broderick Washington's shoes. Nick McCann's a big boy too, but he's a big boy that's very mobile. 300 pound, 6'2" guy, but he's very mobile. I mean, he's an athletic guy for a big boy. And so he's actually the guy that I think is going to be taking care of that center guard combo on the inside and be able to play that zero technique the best. So I do expect, because at that nose tackle position, it's not a lot of glamour, right? It's not a lot of, you don't get a lot of the women playing nose tackle. You don't get a lot of the stats, right? I mean, if you look at his stats last year, his numbers went down, but a lot of it had to do with the fact that he played more inside than he did the year before. And it's your job is basically to take on the center and the guard so the other players can get the stats, so the other players can get the girls, right? You're the wingman. You're the wingman of the defense. And I think Nick McCann's going to, the better season he has, the better season guys like Eli Howard, Nelson and Benasor, Tony Bradford can have.
Mm, that's so true.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you bring up a good point. Like, this is a unit, and this might be one of the most, like, if one guy falters, the rest of them are going to falter, right? Because as soon as you have somebody who's weak on the defensive line, that is going to be who offensive coordinators for our opponents will key up on. That's where they're going to send all of their runs. That's where they're going to be watching for trap plays. Like, it, as soon as we have a weak link, that's when it starts to fall apart. And if we can have a really strong defensive line, which I think there's a lot of opportunity here, especially with the form that we play, that this could be a, like a really just stout across the board defensive line for 2020.
Yeah, I mean, I think one thing is we're continually talking about like the pass defense and sacks and other good stuff, but I do think you bring up a good point when it comes to run defense. Right. And I think that's another place that we kind of struggled last year was in our run defense. Right. It simply wasn't good enough. And I think that has a lot to do with the weak interior. I mean, I just talked about how Eli Howard was food when it came to run defense last year. And this year, guys like Nick McCann, the only guy on defense, I think the only reason why our run defense wasn't as bad as our pass defense was because of how good Broderick Washington was last year. But, I mean, let's face it, our run defense, we were still the second worst run defense in the conference, right? Like, so it's not like we were that good, right? Thank God for Kansas, am I right? So I think that this year is it's just as important to, especially with that Raider linebacker helping, in both pass rush and in the run defense, in the run stopping game, it's just as important to have a Nick McCann and have a D line that are there to defend the run as it is to rush the pass. Good point, Albie. You're so smart. You're so intelligent. Yeah. I'd have never thought of
sometimes,
that.
Sometimes the only thing we can say is affirmation. So Dylan and I just shrink back into the silence.
I was just waiting for him to be done, to be honest.
He's offering up good points.
Well, I want everybody to say hello to goodbye to Dylan, as he will never be allowed back on the Airway podcast. Actually, this is his podcast. I don't know why I'm saying that.
I was going to say, have fun learning how to edit, buddy.
Yeah. I don't know why I'm saying that. He has so much more power on this podcast than I do. It is time for my favorite part of the podcast, which is predictions, right? So, Dylan, who leads the team in sacks this year? Go.
I'm just willing it into existence like we did in the O-line pod. Eli Howard.
There you go. Eli Howard. You really stepped out on the ledge on that one, huh? You mean the guy that's led the team in sacks the last 2 years? Wow. Yeah. That's crazy.
Logic prevails. Who figured?
Yeah. All right. Jeremy, anybody else you're going to pick for that award?
I'm surprised that, I mean, we're saying Tony Bradford's going to play ends. I'm surprised we're talking him up so much. I'm surprised you didn't go for that, Dylan.
Thought about it.
Well, I'll just go ahead. I think Tony Bradford will have a better year this year than Eli Howard.
Hold on. Let me throw a wrench into this. What if Tyree Wilson is eligible immediately?
Okay, so I'm glad you brought him up, and that's my bad for not bringing him up myself. Tyree Wilson, transfer from Texas A&M. It has not been confirmed that he's going to be eligible, but there is thought that he could be, right? So we'll see. But he is a guy that a lot of people are very excited about, right? Wasn't he like
this is a big boy.
Four-star recruit. He's 6'6", 280.
6'6", dude.
You know what I'm saying?
The wingspan.
Coming over to Texas, to Tejas Tech. Right. And so, I mean, if he is eligible this year, where does he fit in?
I mean, he's a pass rusher. I think he starts immediately on the outside, or at least contends for snaps on the outside.
Starts? So you picking him over Eli? You're already turning on your boy?
Whoever else is on the outside.
You're putting him already
Tony Bradford.
Yeah. You just talked about the two guys. Now you're already saying.
Move Tony inside.
Dang.
So that's
the nice thing about this defensive line is you can move guys.
Jeremy, what did Chris Brown say in his song, his hit single? These blanks ain't loyal.
These don't say loyal.
Oh my goodness.
Oh, I'm happy that I knew that when you brought it up.
These smites ain't loyal.
These smites, that's good.
All right, but he's going to get a lot of playing time this year. What about you, Jeremy? What do you think he He floats over everybody on the depth chart and automatically becomes a starter and plays both nose tackle, D tackle, and DN.
He will play all of it at once. Well, so here's the thing is that from what I garnered from just the general community is that he's put a lot of weight on since he left A&M and came over to
Tech. How much more weight can he put on?
Well, he's not even 300, right? He wasn't 300 when he left, or was he 300 when he left?
He was 280, but that's...
It's a lot of weight. And so, but the thing, I don't know if the weight is great, but I think what really would make the difference is his wingspan. And having that wingspan, especially out wide, to be able to like swim around an offensive lineman, it might make the difference. But it just switching from A&M to Texas Tech does not guarantee him a starting position. You were talking about it on the which podcast we're doing, defensive backs or something, like, you know, you got people coming in, or linebackers, you know, you got people coming in. Maybe you're at the two deep because you're a transfer, but that doesn't mean that you're going to perform well. I want him to do well because I feel like we've got who do we have? Nelson Banasore, we got Jalen Hutchins, we got Bradford, we got Eli Howard.
We got some depth.
That's a strong four. So we got a good starting group there. And so he can be interchangeable. And we haven't even talked about Devin Drew. I know how much you hate transfers, but you know, this is somebody who's coming up from Iowa Western, something like that, community college, with a pretty good rep sheet as well. Hopefully to be at least semi-productive, but we've got depth, and I think that makes the difference this year, is that we've got depth. Thank goodness.
Yeah, no, okay, let me clarify. I don't hate transfers. I hate transfers that didn't produce somewhere else and think they can come in and all of a sudden produce. That's what I dislike. And so a guy like Devin Drew, even in community college, dude had like 9.5 sacks, 17 tackles for loss, was the defensive player of the year in this conference. That's a dude. That's a beast, right? So, like, that's a guy that performed at his previous school. So I'm okay with you now saying, I performed here. I'm now going to take that performance and move it on elsewhere. That's fine, right? So even, and I'll even say, even Tyree Wilson, though he's a transfer, he didn't transfer because he couldn't play, right? He was only a redshirt sophomore. It's not like, and he actually got, you know, he got on the field a few times last year too. So it's not like he was never going to play at Texas A&M, right? I mean, who knows? We don't know the behind the scenes thing of what happened, but like he still had 3 more years of eligibility to go. So it's not like he's just given up because he'll never play like some of these other guys, Jacob Morgenstern, on the team that was not going to play at the previous school. So like, so that's, I think that's where I get like, that's my thing. And so a guy like Devin Drew, I don't think he'll start, but I do think he provides really good depth on the team. And he's another guy that's, I mean, he's a dude. He's a guy that's 280 himself, and he's shorter, which means he's fatter. But but I mean, the main thing is that it does, I think this unit, this is, to me, the deepest unit on the defense.
Yeah, right? No doubt. I agree with that. Probably one of the deepest units in general. Sure.
Yeah.
Outside of maybe wide receiver, it's probably the deepest group we got.
Right? Because we just mentioned Bradford and Banasore, Howard, McCann, Drew, Hutchins. Like these are
Gilbert
guys.
Gilbert Abinemi, we didn't even talk about yet.
Oh wow. Yeah. Deep. No, we didn't. Alexander Poole. I know y'all like that guy. The flow is sick.
I'm all for flow. Maybe that's why I like flow. Eli Howard, because we have the same haircut.
You know, you're not wrong. Well, and Schooler comes in with
lots
quite
of flow
himself.
The flow bros.
Lots of flow. We, the white guys are coming into football with absolute flow and making a difference. You got to love it.
Are y'all done?
We are now.
Are y'all done? You know what, guys? I'm down to do a video podcast now so I can show off the flow.
Same. Yeah, same.
I'm into it. Then,
they'll just be like Albert and these two generic white guys. Classic.
Drinking their IPAs.
Yeah. Except they're both
wearing chubbies.
Everybody's gonna see y'all's tooth hair and be like, but Al's fade though. Oh my god, that's what's gonna happen. And be like, oh man, but you see.
Hey, yeah, I saw you on the 10-12 podcast, the Instagram.
I was a sexy MF-er, wasn't I? I told you.
The audio was horrible, but it was
That's just comes with the territory when you're working
that
with Albie
comes
Shore.
Comes with the territory.
Hey Jeremy.
I love that.
Hey Jeremy. Hey Dylan. Your mothers. but Jeremy, you still haven't mentioned who you think is going to lead the team in sacks.
Oh yeah. No.
I went with Tony Bradford.
No. Remember, I said Tony Bradford.
Tony Bradford. You said by your guns. You said Tony Bradford.
You haven't answered the question,
I haven't
Albie.
Yeah, that's who I think is going
to win the team in sacks. Nick McCann.
I think it'll be Nelson Bannisor.
That's a spicy take.
Wow, that's
no,
hot.
On
the inside.
For me, again, I go back to his tape. I thought he was a very raw prospect whenever he was coming out of high school. But he was a player that I felt in about 3 years could be really good asset. Guess what? This is year three. And so, I think this is the time for him to shine. Or year four, actually, I should say. But this is the time for him to shine. And I think that he's bulked up. He's a big enough guy now. He's not the skinny high schooler we saw 4 years ago. And the fact that the D-line coach is giving him as much props as he was, it does make me think. This is, time for him to go. Plus, he's wearing number 91, which is like the greatest football number of all time. Only greats and legends wear the number 91. I can't think of a better football number in the history of the world. So
Albert definitely didn't get that number in high school.
I mean.
Right, yeah. Because I can't think of a single other player who has worn 91
only,
off the top of my head.
You know, I was going to actually give Albie a little props. I think this is a good answer just because of what Paul Randolph said about him. Said he had the best camp of anybody in his group. They told him in his exit interview the three things he needed to get better at, and he did all three of them.
Yeah.
Dude, he's pulled a full McCullough. Like, he has just worked his butt off to get into the starting rotation and has proven himself. So I like it.
We know he's at least going to get time and snaps.
I feel like he's going to get a substantial amount of time.
The other thing that Paul Randolph said is he's wants to rotate seven guys. So,
ooh.
Which is insane.
Ideally,
but
if we are this deep and everyone's this good, could be in pretty good shape.
Who's the seventh guy? We mentioned six, and Tyree Wilson would be number seven if he's eligible. But if Tyree Wilson's not eligible, who's the seventh guy?
I gotta count.
So we
talked about Howard and Bannisor,
yep.
Hutchins,
yep.
McCann, mm. Drew, mm. and Bradford.
Bradford.
And Bradford. That's six. So if Wilson is not eligible, who would the seventh guy be?
Oh, wow. You think they'd bring in more, the freshman coming in?
Ebenemy? Do we count him as seven?
No, we didn't.
Could be Ebenemy. I do like Ebenemy. No love for Troy Tayo?
No.
Mantis?
Distant cousin of Mantis?
Yeah.
What's his girlfriend's name?
I forgot.
The guy,
I was going to make a girlfriend joke, but I didn't remember her name, so I left it alone.
Well, scout team last year, so I don't think
yes,
so.
Yes, Air Raid podcast listeners. Jeremy, too, can read the bio from TexasTech.com.
Yes, sir. Well, when it comes to Troy Tayo...
Philip Bleedy. All right, last prediction.
Oh, Philip Bleedy. Yeah, 6'4".
What about him?
It's just that could be guy number seven. Throwing out names.
Could be the number seven.
I mean, yeah. At this point, you're just naming people.
Yeah.
I mean, Philip. Like, what is Philip Bleedy gonna do? I don't.
LB Moore.
Stand up. No, that's what I was saying. The freshman coming in. Moore.
Moore's.
They were kind of high in him recruiting.
They like him
Moore
a lot, but I think what. What I gathered from Paul Randolph is he's like raw.
Raw. Mm. His tape was pretty raw. He's also, honestly, I could see them moving him to linebacker.
I think he did play linebacker in high school.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I was actually surprised when they moved him to the D-line to begin with. It might be because he's slow, but, I mean, he's also kind of small for DN unless you put him at the Raider linebacker position. So that's another thing we might see here in the future. But last prediction, guys, because this pod now is running a little long, is Tech finished second to last in the run game last year with the linebackers we already talked about and this D-line that we're talking about now. What position do we finish in run defense this year? Jeremy, go.
In the Big 12?
The Big 12, yeah.
Fifth.
If we finish fifth, okay.
That's a big win.
It's a big win.
I mean, that's huge.
Yeah. Man, this team is bad. Dylan.
Hold on. I gotta look up last year's.
I think it was.
We finished ninth, Dylan. Ninth in run defense.
That's no, I want to know where everyone else finished.
Yeah, so I think that it I was Oklahoma.
Well, so there were eight teams that finished ahead of us.
Iowa State.
So you can guess.
Why are you saying no data available?
You can just
give me the data, ESPN.
You can.
It's everybody else except Kansas.
That's. I mean, you can guess the eight teams that were ahead of us. I don't.
Okay, so we finished seven last year. Ninth.
Run defense.
And you, and Jeremy thinks we can move up to five.
Yeah. This year, yeah.
Eh, I'm good with that. I'll just piggyback on Jeremy's take.
Yeah.
That's cool.
We've got good depth. We've got some experience. We've got Paul Randolph is a great D-line coach. I feel like fifth is not... Fifth, we're going to have to work for fifth. Don't get me wrong. It's not going to be like we walk on the field and we're fifth. Unless we're only playing like one game against Houston Baptist. But we work hard. We could get
is fifth. That what it is? Is y'all just think we're going to hold Houston Baptist to 5 yards that's going to just use the rest of the
day? It'll carry our average through the next nine games.
It just really helped that average.
So I do think Tech's run defense is going to improve, not just because I think the D-line's deep, but more so because you know what's funny? The D-line is dealing with a similar problem the linebackers are dealing with to where I think the group is better, though nobody on the D-line is as good as Broderick Washington was last year. And so it's funny. So they're replacing one guy with like five guys, right? And that's the same thing the linebackers are doing. So with them two combined, I'm willing to go from ninth place to ninth, no, I'm just joking, to seventh place. They'll move up too. I think they'll have a better run defense than West Virginia, who's still still rebuilding themselves. And I'm gonna go ahead and say they'll have a better run defense than Baylor. I think Baylor's gonna take a step back on their run defense.
You think Kansas will have a better run defense this year?
I mean, they let 225 yards per game go. I'm talking about the teams we're leapfrogging. Sorry. We're still going to be better.
We'll still be better than Kansas.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
Yeah.
Okay. They let 225 yards a game go last year. I mean, I don't... You don't improve that much. You just don't do it. I mean, unless... I don't know. You just don't do it. Anyway, anything else you want to tell to the people, Jeremy?
Nope, not a thing.
What about you, Dylan?
Nope, we're running long, Albie.
All right. Only thing I want to say is go Rockets, beat LA. As always, you can follow us at Viva the Matadors. That's the home team on Twitter. And also follow us at Air Raid Podcast. Follow us at Air Raid Podcast. We need more followers, people. So for Jeremy, for Dylan, this is Albie, and as always, you've listened to the Air Raid Podcast presented by Viva the Matadors. Like I say, stay wrecked, people.